Our text this morning is Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 34. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that do not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Thank you. Well, welcome to everyone. Good morning to Antioch Community Church. If you're with us in the sanctuary or in the fellowship hall or joining us online, we're glad you're here with us. We've already had an earthquake this morning, so let's see what else is in store for us. Do not be anxious about your life. We as humans are anxious people. We don't need the coronavirus to show us that we are anxious people. We all have moments where we feel anxiety. Sometimes it's heavy upon us. I'm a little anxious being in front of you today, right? Public speaking is one of the things that generates a lot of anxiety and worry in people. So we all have our moments of feeling anxiety, but we experience them differently. We feel them differently. It's like for some people, the topic of riding a roller coaster produces different levels of anxiety upon different people. Right? Or crawling under the crawl space of a house produces different levels of anxiety. Some people, it's no big deal for either one of those things. For other people, it's a big deal. And it can cause worry and anxiety. So we all have our moments of worry and anxiety, but we don't all experience anxiety and worry in the same way. That famous lady, Anonymous, said this: "Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles." If there's someone who has never had an anxious moment since March thinking about the personal impact of the coronavirus on themselves and their family and their loved ones, then I'd be real inclined to say that they were lying. And if they're not lying, then I'd really like to meet that person. We feel anxiety because God has created us to be emotional people. He gives us emotions to move us to certain actions. That's what is inherent in the word emotion. It comes from the Latin, two Latin words, ex, which is Latin for out, and movere, which is the verb to move. So it literally means move out. And so we feel different emotions, and they prompt us to move in some way. And worry, anxiety are emotions that move us to dark and sometimes desperate places. Jesus spoke a lot about anxiety. In fact, this whole chapter up to this point is about Jesus' encouragement to us to not be anxious. He starts out at the beginning about don't be anxious about those who can kill the body. He moves to not being anxious about those who are persecuting and what you will say when they come and trouble you. And then here he moves to not being anxious about our life. He's not trying to shame us in this chapter, but instead he's trying to help us understand why we become anxious and also how we can spend less time being anxious. And Jesus knows full well that beating worry, fear, and anxiety is not a one-time victory. He understood that merely saying to us several times, "Do not be anxious," for some people would produce anxiety. He also knows that just saying the words, "Don't be anxious," is not going to cause our bodies to respond with feeling less anxiety. But let's be patient and let's look into this passage and come to see the fullness of how Jesus does give us some suggestions for how we can overcome anxiety. So we're going to look at this section here in three headings. We're going to first look at the pathway to worry. Then we're going to look at reasons not to be anxious. And finally, how to overcome anxiety. So first, the pathway or the road to worry. Look at verse 22. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on." We're not to be anxious about our life. Food, clothing, shelter, drink, all those things. We become worried or anxious over things that we value the most. The things that we value the most are the things we spend the most amount of time seeking after, right? So a lot of times for us, those are needs, they're necessities, but sometimes they're very strong desires. So that which holds a value for us becomes a top priority for us to seek after. Look at verse 29. It says, Jesus says to us, "And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them." So yes, we spend time seeking after food and drink and clothing, just like everyone else in the world. And certainly we need those things. They do hold a necessary value, and they're important. And there's plenty of other things that hold value to us: money, possessions, our reputation, our relationships, our health. They all hold value for us. And it's those things that we value most that can lead us to worry. For instance, how many of you, by show of hands in this room at least, how many of you this past week spent any amount of time worrying over the amount of weeds in my flower garden at home? So for those keeping count, there's not a hand raised here if you're keeping score at home. Notice my two sons didn't even raise their hands. We will fix that this afternoon. Just kidding. But yeah, you guys didn't worry about the weeds in my garden bed because that didn't hold any value to you guys. You might have worried about your own, but we're not going to spend time worrying over things that we do not value. And here's the thing on this road to worry. We can't control everything completely. And so when something that we value, whether it's a need or desire, when we feel that that's threatened, that there's a scarcity of it, we're not going to have enough of it, we're having a hard time securing what we desire or need, then that's when there's a chance for anxiety to come in. When what we value becomes threatened or feels out of our control, we worry. It's at this time that anxiety and worry serve as an indicator of our true hearts that show us how close our priorities align with God's values and priorities for us. Jesus lays it out in this passage that our worry stems from not really believing that God is acting in a good way toward us. Our worry and anxiety shows us much, it shows how much we do or don't trust God in that specific circumstance. So when he gives us the gentle rebuke, as he does in verse 28, "Of you of little faith," he's not talking about or challenging whether or not we believe that Jesus is God and whether or not we're saved, whether or not that he died for our sins. He's challenging us on whether or not that we believe that he is working for our good in that specific situation, in that specific circumstance that may be causing us to worry or fear. Tim Keller writes, "Worry is not believing God will get it right. And bitterness is believing God got it wrong. So we worry when we don't think God's getting it right. So this road to worry, this pathway to worry, just so we know and understand it and know that when we're on it, we can recognize the landmarks and tell ourselves we need to get off. This road to worry, some of the landmarks are we value things. We value certain needs. We have strong desires. And those things that we value, we pursue. We seek after. And when we can't control them completely and we feel that they're threatened, then we become worried. That sequence produces worry in us. Ultimately, when we fear the threat more than we trust God's goodness to us in that specific circumstance, we can worry. So now that we've learned a little bit of the path that leads to worry and anxiety, let's look at reasons why we should not worry according to Jesus. Verse 23, he says, "For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." There's more to life than food, drink, clothing, school, our career, and even our health. Our personal safety is not our highest aim in life. Our assignment is not to try to figure out a way to live forever. Now, it doesn't mean we are in a race to leave this earth. But our chief aim is not about how to live forever. The things we should value the most, according to God, are not physical or material things. Food, drink, shelter, clothing, health, they're all temporary things. And yes, we need them to survive here on earth. But we're not placed on here on earth to exclusively spend all of our time seeking to secure those needs. Look at verse 29 again. "Do not seek after what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them." We've been given a higher agenda, an agenda that belongs to a kingdom that is eternal. Verse 24 says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them." Consider how God cares for the birds. He feeds them even though they don't directly do anything to produce their food. They don't plant anything. They don't water anything. They don't harvest anything. They don't even build a storehouse to keep the food that they need. They have to get it that day to eat it that day. And yet God provides for them. Look at verse 27. "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" There are many flowers that bloom. And they're beautiful. They're magnificent to look at. They don't weave anything together. They don't gather any materials to weave anything together. They don't pick out the colors that they want to be in and say, "This looks good," and assemble something and then put it on like we put on clothes. They're just hanging out in the sun and the rain, and the nutrients in the soil impact them in such a way that they produce beautiful blooms. And God orchestrates this. And the blooms, they last a short time. There's some blooms that just last a few hours. And the lilies here that Jesus references, they just last a few days. They're blooms. And then they wilt and you can start a fire with them. But what Jesus is saying here, that we are more valuable than any of those creatures. That's why he gives us that gentle rebuke, "O you of little faith." He knows how much he's mindful of each one of us. He knit us together. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows how many times we've already breathed today and how many times we will breathe in the course of a 24-hour period. He knows all those things. He left the glories of heaven to come to earth to die an unjust and painful death to save us forever. And then we convince ourselves that in certain moments, he doesn't care about us or he's not paying attention to us. But we're not the first to do that. People have done that. God's people have done that all through history. In Isaiah chapter 49, God is giving a prophecy, and he's talking about restoring the people of Israel back to their land after being held captive for so long by Babylon and the Babylonians. And he says that there's coming a time, it's going to be a time of favor when he is going to restore the heritage that had been desolate. He's going to restore it to the people of Israel. And the people that were prisoners, he's going to say, you can come out. And those who are dark, you can appear. And there's going to be food and water, and there's not going to be famine. And he builds it up. In verse 13, he says, sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. The very next verse says, but Israel says, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And God answers them with, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Of course not. There's no mom is going to forget about their nursing baby and their child. We think that's impossible. Yet God says, even these may forget. So some may forget. Yet I will not forget. Behold, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The walls is a reference to our safety and security. He cares about those things as well. We should not worry, because in terms of God's creation, we are his priority number one. Look at verse 25. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you then are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Secondly, a reason not to worry. Jesus displays that you are more valuable than all other creatures. But also, worrying does not benefit us. It doesn't improve our life in any way. Jesus said it's a simple thing to add time to the span of someone's life. It is simple for him to do that. For us, not so much. It's impossible. We can't do it. He said, you cannot do this simple thing. We can't add time to our own lives through worry. Let me add an aside right here and speak a word of comfort to those who may fear for their own life over this coronavirus. God has the final say on the length of our days, and not any virus. Job 14 says, our days are determined, and the number of our months is with you, Lord. So he alone determines our beginning, and he alone shall determine our end. We can't add time to our life through worry. We can't add food to our tables or water to our glasses through worry. We can't add rooms to our house or fuel to our furnace through worry. We can't add dollars to our paycheck or A's to our report card through worry. We can't add healthiness to our health through worry. But Jesus can do all these things, not through him worrying for us or on our behalf, but by him giving to us. Jesus is telling us here in a different way what he told us in John: apart from me, you can do nothing. It's pointed out here by Jesus that worrying doesn't benefit us. In fact, it's worse than that. It actually harms us. Worrying is one of the most self-defeating things that we can do for ourselves. Persistent worrying triggers stress hormones in us. And when they're released in our body, they produce different responses in different people. Some people, they make muscles tense. Other people break out into a sweat. Some people have a panic attack. Other people have raised or elevated blood pressure and heart rates. It lowers our immune response system. So worrying, persistent worrying, leads to very real physical, emotional, and mental health challenges for each of us in different ways. So Jesus can tell us with a serious face not to worry, because our life has a higher purpose to pursue than just seeking after the temporal, physical things. We don't have to worry because we see every day God cares for so many aspects of His creation. The creatures, the birds, the grass, the lilies, all kinds of flowers. He cares a whole lot more about us than any of them. And worrying accomplishes nothing beneficial to us. So now we've come to the place where we're like, okay, I understand. I'm with you, Scott. I understand the road to worry. I understand Jesus has given some reasons here not to worry. So how do we not worry? It's a great question, right? We all wish we knew. But Jesus gives us some suggestions here, at least two, that will help us in this journey. And these two suggestions that he gives in this passage are centered on maintaining a certain mindset that will hopefully produce certain behaviors in us that reduce the amount of time that we spend worrying. It takes practice to have these mindsets developed in us. This, again, is not a one-time victory. And there's going to be plenty of times where we feel like we're losing. But there's still hope for us. Because Jesus has said, do not be anxious. And therefore, he can equip us with the ability to not be anxious as well. Mindset number one. We reduce worrying by remembering God's provision, faithfulness, and intervention in our lives. Verse 30. The Father knows that we need the necessary things that we're seeking after. And he's consistently supplying them to us. Sometimes it feels like we have to work very hard or even struggle to get the necessities of life. And after the fall, because of sin, God set it up that, yeah, we have to work hard for certain things that we need, like food and shelter and other things. But even while we toil, we're not left to ourselves. God is seeing to it that through our work, our basic needs are being met. And yes, there are some instances where, because of the consequences of humanity's sin, it's very difficult for some people to get those things that they need. But largely, even now, in this global pandemic of 4 months of shut down life, people are still having their needs met. I'm amazed at some of my friends through Feed the Hunger, my pastor friends overseas, okay? They're living in developing nations. These pastors earn their living through the contributions placed in the offering plates, right? Some of them haven't held services since March, okay? They can't mail a check into their church. They'll be stolen through the postal service in their country. First, they don't do checks in many of these countries, so you're mailing cash. Right? That's not a wise idea. It's not going to make it to their church. They don't have an online platform that they can go and make a credit card gift. If they're not having services, they're not collecting. They're not able to earn their living. And yet, God is still providing in ways for these pastors. It's amazing. 4 months of this in His providence. Similarly, we need to remember that God frequently intervenes in our lives for our good. Jesus is concerned about the things you're concerned for. He cares about what keeps you up at night. Look at the path that we've already gone through in Mark, in our study of Mark so far, right? Jesus healed a man who had an unclean spirit. Then he healed a leper. Then he enabled a guy to walk for the very first time when his friends lowered him through the roof. He healed a man who had a withered hand. He calmed a very scary storm that his disciples and himself were going through. He fully restored a man who had 1,000 demon tormentors, and he restored him to full health. He healed a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and then he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. What's the takeaway? When you worry about what you can't control, there is a God who does control it. If he so chooses, he can show up in any moment in our life, in a moment, and change things. He holds the power to insert himself into our lives and make a difference. He can change what seems like an inevitable, terrible outcome to something that will benefit us. He's working behind the curtain and sometimes in front of the curtain where we can see it for our good. When Jesus says, you're valuable to me, it's not just a platitude to him. Reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness and providing what we need when we need it helps reduce our worry. Finally, mindset number two. Look at verse 31. Instead, so Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. We need to seek his kingdom with singular focus. The alternative for being consumed with securing the things we need in life is the challenge to be consumed with pursuing the kingdom of God. So what's the kingdom of God and how do we seek it? Most simply, it's the rule of Christ. The kingdom of God is the rule of Christ being brought to bear here on earth, subjecting ourselves to Christ as our King. And we seek it by pursuing the principles and the values that matter most to him. Pleasing God should be our chief aim. No matter the time or the season, pleasing God should be our chief aim. And the kingdom of God, by nature, is a growing kingdom. It should be growing larger and larger inside our own hearts. It's meant to be shared with others. It should be growing numerically as well. So it's increasing in value inside of our hearts, and it's also increasing numerically around the world. As those who are already subject to Christ as King share him with others in hopes that they too would subject themselves to Christ as their King. Christ is calling us to bring visibility to this kingdom that's been clouded and fuzzy to a world because of this world's immense sin. The kingdom grows because it's a gift which God delights in sharing with many others from all corners of the world. Look at verse 32. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He delights in giving his kingdom. That's exciting. Verse 33, look at this. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Here's one of the strongest antidotes to worry and fear. The kingdom mindset is a selling and giving mindset. When you focus on others, it automatically decreases your focus on yourself. And self-focus is strong fuel for our worry and anxiety. But if you're caring for others, if you're helping to lighten their burdens, it gives you purpose and fulfillment that goes a long way in reducing your own fears and worries. Look at verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When seeking the kingdom, being concerned for its growth in your own heart and in the lives of others, it becomes a value. It becomes a treasure to us. And our heart's attention will follow it. Remember, we seek after those things that are valuable to us. So if our heart is giving less attention to the things of this world, then our concerns and worries will naturally be reduced. As Pastor Mark said last week, no one is on the bench in the kingdom of God. Jesus sent out his disciples. We looked at that last week. He sent them out two by two. And he has given us a go and make disciples mandate. And it doesn't take a break for any pandemic. So if you can't go out right now, if you need to remain separate, seek first the kingdom of God. You can call and check on others. You can write thank you notes to first responders. You can give generously to ministries that are still able to go out and make disciples. You can cut your neighbor's grass or make a meal for your neighbor. Or you can pick up trash around your neighborhood if you're one that must still remain separate during this time. If you're more okay with moving out, then your goal is not to be exercising your personal liberties. Your goal is to be seeking the kingdom of God and sharing it with others as you're going out. We should all be directing people's hearts towards Christ with our words and actions, even during this time. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for your instruction here for us to not be anxious. And Lord, there's a lot of things we can be anxious about right now. We just recognize that. But Lord, we don't want to harm ourselves through worry and anxiety. And so Lord, we we ask that you would work deep into our hearts these mindsets, Lord, that we would remember over and over and over again that you care for us. Lord, as you said in Isaiah, even there might come a time even when mothers forget their children, but not so with you. You've engraved us in the palms of your hands. We're thankful for those nail-scarred hands of Jesus that have given us life, that show beyond a shadow of a doubt that you care for us, Lord. And so we want to remind ourselves of those times. We want to trust in you more than the threats of our fear. Lord, we want to have a seek first the kingdom of God mindset, even during this time. And it's harder now. It's as we're keeping space and wearing masks and just living differently, it's harder. But we can still do it by your grace, Lord. So give us just the creative abilities to continue to seek first your kingdom during this time. That we would sell and give. That we would have that mentality, Lord, as we care for others, as you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.